is this really your final year?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'll reassess all that in the end. But, you know, when I signed a one-year contract, you know, there was nothing about in there about playing longer than 1 year. But we'll see how it goes. Obviously, you'd love to have success and be healthy. And, you know, we can start there with health, have some success, and enjoy it, make a run. It'd be really special. And then we'll figure that out come next February.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers with Adam Schein on Mad Dog Radio. A lot has been made of the comment you just heard and some of the other things that got said on that show, in that interview. That is a far cry from Rodgers' first appearance on the McAfee show post-signing with the Steelers, when I think he told Tone Diggs, this is going to be like the last ride. This is it for me.
Well, he even hedged it back then, though.
But this is a
big departure.
That's a total 180. We're going to see how this goes.
He left the door open with Tone Diggs and all those guys. When Tone asked him straight away, he leaned like this was it, but he left the door cracked open. I think he more just shoved the door wide open with that statement.
If he stays healthy and they win, it sounds like he wants to play beyond this year.
And why wouldn't you? If you were him and you won 11 games here and you maybe won a playoff game and you were doing it on a bargain and you know that team doesn't have a quarterback to pay because they're not paying you that much, why wouldn't you ask for a nice little tidy raise, play for $25 or $30 million next year? Why can't he Darrell Revis it at this point if he wants to? Just be a year-to-year Merc.
I know, but this quarterbacks play can stay healthy longer than defensive linemen.
Yeah, but I know at 42
That's what I mean. Like if Steelers fans are quibbling over giving Cam Hayward extra money, and they are, why? Like, you're going to test your luck with Rodgers and give him more money? I mean, even if you leave the more money part out,
mm-hmm.
He has a good year. Do you want to test it again next season? I mean, I think that there are some Steelers fans that would sign up for this idea. Rodgers plays decently. And if he's now gung-ho on mentoring Will Howard and guys like that, you draft your quarterback, and Rodgers is the guy who comes back and starts at the beginning of 2026, and depending on how he plays, gradually gives way to the guy you drafted in the first round. That scenario is not really that far-fetched. I'm not saying I agree with it or that they should do that.
Well, the most far-fetched part is he has to take this team and get them to a point where they probably win a playoff game for that to start entering into the conversation.
I don't even know if I don't even agree with that.
Why?
I think if he had a season like Russell Wilson did last year, in that the Steelers went 10-7 and went to the playoffs and didn't lose five in a row and did at the end and didn't have an offensive coordinator quarterback conflict. If they're a 10-7 team that loses in the first round of the playoffs, and he had a season that's similar to he did last year with the Jets, I think he could be, if he wants to, I think he's back the next year. And it's Rodgers, guy you draft, and then you make up your mind between Mason Rudolph and Will Howard to see who fills out the quarterback room.
So the reason, if all of that came to pass, that I wouldn't hate it completely for next year is that I don't think you would have any worry about Rodgers being obstinate that you drafted a quarterback. He's aware that he is 42 going on 43.
Right.
Nobody harbors any delusions about how long he's going to play. Even Brady only played to what, 45?
Yeah, so you'd have something. I mean, the all-time ideal situation is Alex Smith for a year with Patrick Mahomes, and that would be the blueprint that you would be drafting from if you brought him back next year.
I wouldn't hate
in that situation.
I wouldn't hate it. Depending on which quarterback they picked, I think there are certain guys who would come from certain systems where you would say if it's more of a pro-like offense, you think you could have them play sooner rather than later. But if you're drafting a guy who you don't think would be ready in a perfect world, even in week one, you think they might need to like see the game, almost get into late-in-game situations as like the mop-up guy at first almost.
Yep.
And I could buy that, and I think you'd buy yourself some insurance with fans where if he was coming off of a good enough season for the Steelers to want him back and to not be crushed for wanting him back, people wouldn't necessarily, I mean, they would, but they wouldn't in mass necessarily say, he had one bad game, put the rookie in.
If they drafted, and you're like perfect Malzi world.
Lenore Sellers.
If they drafted Sellers, He's a sophomore. He's played games, but he hasn't played a ton.
He's not a redshirt sophomore?
It's not like Bo Nix, who played a bajillion college games. And Kenny Pickett played a ton.
He was the guy I had in mind with this. And Arch Manning, you could argue, would be the other one. But I think Arch is going to have an insane year and probably could start sooner rather than later. If they drafted Sellers and the idea was they probably weren't going to break the glass on starting him until like midseason at the earliest, I would, you know what I would laud them for? Having what appeared to be a very defined plan. And what I would hope, if we're playing out a hypothetical here, what I would just hope would happen is they wouldn't panic if Rodgers started 0-3 and Tomlin would go, I've got to put a rookie in there.
And they just did not create the right situation when they did it with Kenny, which is not me excusing or trying to explain
away
Kenny's poor
performance. They didn't give him any reps with the ones, and then they just shoved him in at halftime.
Yeah, not just that part. It's the guy that you brought in to be the stopgap was someone who thought he had many good years of football ahead of him and wanted to be the Steelers quarterback for more than just, you know, a few games or a year, because he was in his 20s and he had himself had been a top pick. The Rodgers situation is way different.
Him being 42 going on 43 just makes it a lot more palatable, because nobody is under any misapprehensions.
Right. So, I mean, the only thing that would make it complicated would be if the rookie quarterback came in and really, really, really opened your eyes. And the team thought what was best for them was to just proceed forward with that quarterback as the starter.
Well, if Sellers came, if it was,
right? I mean,
Sellers,
that would be the
here.
One scenario where it's like, actually, now we really don't want Aaron Rodgers. We just want to let this guy cook like Bo Nix last year in Denver.
Here's
or Jaden Daniels with the Commanders.
Here's a weird question. Do you have any recollection, and I'm only asking you this because you're a big enough sicko where you might know, do you remember if Mahomes looked unbelievable during the preseason the year they drafted him? I know he had a pretty solid first game. He started the last game of the year, a meaningless game. He got his feet wet and got to actually go out there and be the man for 1 week. Do you have any recollection in what would it have been, 2017, I guess, with him?
He didn't play a lot because they were still doing the old-fashioned, back then, starters played a lot more in the preseason, and Alex Smith got a lot of work. He was good, but it was like almost entirely garbage time stuff. Well, I think he might have started the last, because there was four back then.
So that is the difference.
I think he might have started the last one and played well.
That is the difference here. I mean, Sellers in this hypothetical we're playing out, or any, I'll just say even any quarterback, Nussmeier, whoever it might be, they would presumably be getting the majority of the preseason reps. You would have what you felt like was a broader basis of snaps to judge them on. Hey, man, this guy played, you know, 200 or 140 snaps in the preseason. He looked pretty damn good. Maybe we just go with him. That's where but if you're going to go down that road and bring him back and then know you're going to draft a first-round quarterback, you better be, like, committed to the plan and not just kind of see a quarterback flash what they could do and say, well, we have to see that right now. Or then you're doing the same mistake in a different way. You're falling victim to whatever you see in the moment.
Aaron Rodgers revisits his future on Mad Dog Radio and says, is way more open, it sounds, to the idea of playing beyond this year. How would you feel about running it back with Aaron Rodgers next year? Are you for or against it? 412-928-9370. That's 412-928-9370. We also have breaking news on another wide receiver who's found a new home, and it's not Pittsburgh. Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line, where they say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Here is Charlie's headline.
It was a lot of fun. I think going back to a camp where you're staying away, like we did for the first 14 years of my career in Green Bay, was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed the opportunity to connect with my teammates, stay in the dorms. You're doing everything over there. You're practicing the heat of the day, physical camp as well. Just kind of from afar, you kind of assume things sometimes about certain organizations. And the physicality, the way that Mike runs his camp, definitely showed up. Most of all, though, I really enjoyed the hangout time at the dorms and getting to know my teammates.
Fan Hotlines presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That was Aaron Rodgers on Mad Dog Radio talking about his first summer and maybe not his last with the Steelers based on what else he said in that interview, keeping the door open. Jerry Dulac got asked a question today about Rodgers being allowed to throw the ball to the middle of the field, which was a big no-no for Justin Fields, Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, Russell Wilson, etc. And Dulac said, quote, he'll be allowed to throw wherever he wants. That is a good thing.
That is. I mean, I've said that was one of my big hopes, that he would supersede Tomlin because his resume is just that strong, and Tomlin would say, you know what, I defer to you. Charlie Borges, what producing, though, that this guy... Producing is getting a number...
Are you implying that Donnie has been Wally Pipped by Charlie?
No.
Okay.
I'm actually not.
But just wanted to make sure.
But if Donnie did make like the Jeffersons and move on up here at The Fan to a permanent hosting role on another show...
Yeah,
I think Borges would be, I mean, he'd be the Usain Bolt of
What are you trying to do? Push Starkey out the door because he just turned 60?
No, I handed him a Butterfinger mid-show today. I barged in on a segment wordlessly and put a Butterfinger on his keyboard. He just looked at me kind of funny. 2 hours later, yeah, the Butterfinger is now there with Charlie. He gave it away. That's the thing. He goes, Muzzy, I can't eat those anymore. I'm down to 205. I haven't been this light in forever. I have to see 199, even if it's just for one day, Muzzy. I have to finish the job. But I flatlined, and I don't know what to do.
He's going to get to 199, and then he's going to go on an eating binge.
Right up to like 285, yes. No, Borges did a good job. We were trying to figure out, like, randomly, if Patrick Mahomes, like, in this argument of, or in this idea of Rodgers sticks around because he has a really good year, you draft a first-round quarterback, the only thing that could knock you off your spot as far as Rodgers starting the season next year as your starter and the guy eventually taking over is that guy having a huge preseason. Borges dug it up. Mahomes appeared in all four preseason games as a rookie with the Chiefs, threw for 390 yards, four touchdowns, and no picks, but he completed less than 50% of his passes. But that is still pretty good work, and presumably they knew they had something on their hands.
Not good enough work, though, where you blow up
The completion percentage was so low, you could say, yeah, this still needs refinement, which it did.
Malachi Corley, Johnny and Farrell called in, and the 2 o'clock hour, our stoner friend, and predicted the Steelers to go 13-4 and win the Super Bowl. He was also exalting Malachi Corley as a big potential missing piece for the Steelers. A guy that looked like Debo Samuel at Western Kentucky, where they have one of the great mascots in college football, the Hilltopper, just a Red Grimace-like figure, was a monster there. The Steelers brought him in for draft visits. They liked him. I think they might have drafted him over Roman Wilson if they were both on the board at that time. Rodgers called him his favorite receiver in that draft. He is on his way to the Cleveland Browns, not to the practice squad. He's going to make their 53. So they're going to kick tires. Why not? The team stinks. You might as well see if you strike gold there.
Didn't they go fully guaranteed deal for Isaiah Bond, too?
They did.
Who didn't go, he went undrafted because of a domestic, I think it was a sexual assault case that ended up getting completely dropped.
Mm-hmm.
And they went and fully guaranteed that guy a deal. They're taking every swing in the book.
Bill in Anchorage asked Dulac, do you think Omar makes a trade for a number two receiver, or is he satisfied with the current players? Dulac said, I think they're willing to have Calvin Austin back for now. I think for now doing a lot of work in that sentence. You have Matt Williamson, who has worked for the Steelers for a long time and was a former scout. He was asked on Twitter a few minutes ago, hey, Matt, is it reasonable at this point to assume the Steelers leadership is comfortable with the receiver room as is? Williamson response, I would say no. Still looking. Maybe he's getting the same intel that Crowley got this morning, that they did inquire about Jacoby Myers. And look, if you're looking, if you're married and you're happy in your marriage, you don't start looking at people's Tinder accounts. Okay? Right? You're not looking up, you're not Googling erotic massage parlors.
Or if you're Robert Kraft, but I don't think he was happily married at
that. Are those illegal?
So, here's...
Not in Canada.
For real?
How do you know that?
I guess Charlie's probably made several
He's got one of those junkets. He's got one of those maps of the world, and there's countries that are highlighted in green, other ones in red.
You absolutely have been, because you just said it so quickly, you just outed yourself.
No, I have never been. I've only been to Canada once.
Aren't the rules for strip clubs a lot more relaxed there?
My friends went. I didn't go. My friends told me about it.
Yeah, I'm dating a girl.
I was just
going to
say,
camp.
I'm dating a massage parlor worker from Canada. She's too cool for you guys. She says you're not mature enough to hang out with her. Here's why I say, like, are they legal or not? I'm pretty sure there's one that's near my house.
Oh, no.
That the police in the township have been trying to bust.
Okay.
And every time they go in there, nothing below board is going on. Like, it all. So either that place is just a very seedy looking, but otherwise completely upstanding place.
Yeah.
Or they are just very careful about how that goes. I would think that they are not legal, Pony. Is that not just prostitution? If you are paying for that kind of service, that is prostitution, is it not? That is not legal here. We're not Nevada.
But would it... Okay, can I ask you a technical question here?
Oh, sure. I've always wanted to have technical questions asked of me.
What
yes.
if you paid for the massage and then something consensual happened? You know?
That's a whole area.
What if...
You're actually just bringing up, like, basically something that would happen in a porno. Oh, you're just...
Yeah, but isn't... But that sounds like a loophole to me. Well, yeah, we were just two consenting adults.
Yeah, that feels like
right, Charlie?
Tough one to prove.
You know, you pay for the massage, then afterwards something happens, and it's like, well, actually,
there's don't a whole you have to like go out to eat first? Maybe
I don't know.
Like, grab a bite, go out for a quick
I
drink.
I just mentioned
at least.
That. You,
what if it can't happen on? What if it can't happen
beforehand.
On premises? So you could be two consenting adults, then you'd say, why can't it happen off-premises?
If you are happy about your receivers, and I made this analogy, and Charlie piped in immediately
Canada.
And said these things are legal in Canada.
Yeah, you really, I would say he's boned up on the material here, but that's probably a bad choice of words.
Joe is on the fan. Hello, Joe. Joe? Hello, Joe. Goodbye, Joe.
Wait, I'm right here.
Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. He must have gotten scared off by the massage parlor conversation. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joins us next. Are the Raiders going to trade Jacoby Myers? Are there any other receivers out there worth trying to pick up? Does Mike think Aaron Rodgers is going to play in 2026? All that and then some when we come back. But first, a Charles Borges headline. Football Talk on the Fan is brought to you by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus. All season long, visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We will be joined in a second by Mike Florio. His hits with us are brought to you by Goodrich and Geist. Get the good guys, Goodrich and Geist. And by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. How about this story that Schefter casually dropped in? The Saints, who stink, were interested in Corliss Waitman and were allegedly willing to give up a draft pick for him. Now, my opinion on that is the difference between Waitman and Johnston is so thin. I would have traded Waitman to New Orleans, and I would have gone with Johnston.
How much cheaper is Waitman this year than Johnston?
I think it's
been?
A $2 million difference.
I would have done the same thing. I would have made the trade. Like, you're gonna get a conditional seventh.
So you're gonna get like
a seventh.
That,
you're
sure.
not getting better than a seventh round pick. I'd still rather have a seventh round lottery ticket for a couple yards
when
difference
you have a
in
negligible
punting.
Difference between
yes.
the two punters. Yeah,
absolutely. That's more valuable.
All right, Mike Florio joins us right now. Mike, for 2 years we've been talking about wide receiver two with the Steelers. The latest horse on that merry-go-round is Jacoby Myers. Is this the latest example of a guy who makes a public trade demand and ultimately gets paid by the team that has him?
This one's strange because we didn't know anything about it until recently. It was all quiet. He wasn't holding in, as far as anyone knows. It wasn't an issue, and now as the season approaches, he's making this request to be traded or paid. He's been very good for the Raiders. He was good for the Patriots. They made a mistake not bringing him back when he became a free agent. I don't think Bill Belichick properly valued him. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what the Raiders choose to do here and how they view him and whether or not this is something they're going to take care of and if they would consider making a trade. But, you know, the thing with a receiver, it's not the easiest thing in the world to plug a receiver in. It's easier with a running back. It's easier to learn the offense. It's a simpler process. You're bringing a receiver in with new quarterback, new coaching staff, new other receivers. You've got to learn a lot. And I think for somebody, especially Aaron Rodgers, you don't want to just jump into the mix and try to figure it out on the fly. You want time to to get properly acquainted. So I don't know that it's a good fit for Pittsburgh. I don't know that it's a good idea for anyone at this point to be making that move, but he's making his play to try to get paid.
Let's say it actually did get to the point where they were talking heavily about it in talking terms, Mike. Jacoby Myers strikes me as a guy who's like a quintessential true high-end wide receiver too. He's not a one, but he is a very good number two. What would it take, you think, in draft capital to pry a guy like that away from the Raiders?
Well, you also have to be willing to give
pay him money. Yeah, you got to pay him too. Yep. New contract, of course.
So you got to pay him, and you got to be willing to give something up to get him when you just gave something up to get DK Metcalf. And look at what they had to give up. What was it, a second-round pick for DK? Right, it was a two.
And $31 right? million a year for five years, although it's really just 2 years. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is it a four? A four and a three? I'm a big believer in tying draft pick compensation to what the guy does his first year, especially in a situation like this. The more he does, the more you give up. Teams don't like to tie up multiple picks, though, because that's what you do. If you've got a schedule, if he does this, it's a five. If he does this, it's a four. If he does this, it's a three. The three, the four, and the five are all tied up until you know what the guy does. So I would ideally want to give up a draft pick commensurate with what he comes in and does. I don't know that that's the right play after investing the resources in DK Metcalf and having the ball on the tee literally for the season to come. It's just adding another moving part, and I don't know that that's good for the Steelers. But yeah, I would think given what the Steelers gave up for DK Metcalf, a four or a three would sound like it would make sense.
Mike, Aaron Rodgers changed his tune again regarding retirement on Mad Dog Radio Monday. He's gone from leaning towards this being the last year, cracking the door open, to now just being full-blown, if I'm healthy and I play well, we'll see what happens. What are your thoughts on that, you know, attitude change from Aaron Rodgers on his future?
Well, look, one very important issue is whether and to what extent it's good for anyone to have what everyone believes is an Aaron Rodgers farewell tour. I don't know that that's good for the Steelers. I don't know that it's good for him. I don't know that he wants that. But he's going to be 42 in December. Father Time is undefeated. And I also think it would be a mistake to let a really good first season be too much of a factor in whether or not there'll be a second season. Look back at what Brett Favre did in Minnesota. After Green Bay, after the Jets, lands in Minnesota. Great first season. They get to the brink of the Super Bowl. The next year was a disaster by comparison. It's never going to be as good the second time around. And I think that's something that everybody needs to think about going into this. Let's not allow how this season finishes be a factor in whether or not we do it again. There's no guarantee it's going to work if you do it again. And with each passing year, it's going to get harder. It's going to get more and more difficult. We haven't seen many quarterbacks play past the age of 40 at a high level. Now he's 41, and by next year, I don't know. And he'll feel differently. Things feel different as you get older as an athlete. You can't do things you used to be able to do. And at some point, you know, his legs are already not what they used to be. And can he color within those lines? That's the biggest challenge for him, not trying to do the things he used to do and operating, because the arm's there. Operate within those boundaries that the passage of time is naturally going to create.
Mike, one of the reasons why I wouldn't dismiss the idea of out of hand completely is it would be part and parcel with, excuse me, the Steelers draft a quarterback in the first round and Rodgers, because everybody knows he's going to be 43. There's no misapprehension or no delusions on anyone's part that he's the long-term answer. It's just a placeholder position for him. And so I bring that up to say, when you talk to people around the league, do they still say that the best way to bring along a young quarterback that you draft is to have them sit for a while? Or has like league perspective shifted on that where they say, no, if you believe in a guy and you drafted him in the first round, play him sooner rather than later. That's why you drafted him.
I think it's driven by all factors. And we've seen, I think, a willingness by coaches to embrace the realities of a new quarterback, change your offense to suit his skills and abilities. It used to be a stubbornness where the kid's got to learn the offense. Now it's what's the kid do well? let's do what he does well. Let's get the most out of him as quickly as we can. Some teams have the luxury of letting a guy sit for an entire year, but I think the presumption is you draft a quarterback with a first round pick, you get him out there sooner rather than later. And, you know, if Aaron Rodgers comes back, wouldn't he rather have that first round pick devoted to a guy that's going to help him have a better result next year? That's part of the analysis too. You don't want him thinking, what the hell, you drafted my replacement. Who am I, Kirk Cousins all of a sudden? When are you going to bench me? You're going to bench me during the season. So I think all factors go into that. And also, ultimately, who do you think this kid's going to be? They have to be feeling a little gun-shy after getting Kenny Pickett. And, you know, it worked with Terry Bradshaw. It worked with Ben Roethlisberger. Didn't work with Kenny Pickett. You just better feel good that the guy you're bringing in is going to be your next long-term answer. The Steelers are a very different team when they have a long-term answer at quarterback that they feel good about.
Mike, on the Kenny Pickett point, you were all over this months ago. You said, I think this is the odd man out in Cleveland. You were right. He goes to Vegas for a fifth-round pick. Kevin Stefanski was talking about how much they loved Kenny when they first got to camp, and he started out getting first-team reps. How did he go from one to out the door so fast there?
Well, look, I believe the moment that they signed Joe Flacco, the starting job was his to lose, because the fans love Joe Flacco. He was the comeback player of the year in 2023. They get to the playoffs. I believe they didn't bring Flacco back last year because they were still committed to the Deshaun Watson bit. Mm-hmm. And if Watson's out there throwing bounce passes week one, you're going to hear Flacco, Flacco, and you got to deal with that. Then all of a sudden they realize we really don't have anything. We got Kenny Pickett. Kenny Pickett felt like the placeholder. We got to have somebody. We don't have anybody. Who the hell do we have? We have Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Oh, we can trade him for Kenny Pickett. Do it. And then they went about building out the depth chart from there. So I think Flacco was always destined to be the starter. The hamstring injury didn't help Kenny Pickett. And I think the key was this. The key was Dylan Gabriel. I think they felt good enough about Gabriel being the backup to Flacco that they didn't need Pickett. And this idea that they're going to carry four guys on the roster, it sounds good in theory, but that's one less position you have available elsewhere. And where are you going to shorthand yourself to have four quarterbacks? So it didn't surprise me. I thought they did everything they could to make us believe they were going to carry four, and then boom, they got an opportunity to get back the fifth-round pick they gave up to get him. Let's just call it a wash and move on.
Mike, if they draft Gabriel and they like him enough to make him the backup here, and Sanders is third string, Sanders comes still with a ton of media attention and people second-guessing you on the outside, and you're not giving him a fair shake, this and that. What's really the point of drafting him if the guy you picked in the third round you really do like better? Like, Shedeur Sanders is not going to sit there, I think, and be particularly happy after this year to still be the backup if Dylan Gabriel gets the job after this.
I don't know how history is going to remember the career contributions of wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster when it's all said and done. His most enduring overall benefit may be the phrase, the Browns is the Browns. That's your explanation. This is what the Browns do.
Yeah.
The Browns make decisions like, oh, we're on the clock at 144. Who do we take? Man, we got a lot higher grade on Deion's son than 144. There's value there. There's value. Every time we turn the audio on the TV, Mel Kiper's head's about to explode about Shedeur Sanders. I guess we should take him. And we have value. We have an asset. Well, that's fine, but you also have a football team. And you undermine Dylan Gabriel one day after you make him a top 100 pick by bringing in Shedeur Sanders. And there's a lot of Tim Tebow similarity here where, you know, Tim Tebow got to the point where he couldn't even get the third string spot on the depth chart, because if you sign Tebow, you're bringing Tebow mania to town, and you're going to have people who are saying, oh, why isn't Tim playing? Oh, you don't like Christians. Oh, what's wrong with you? Tim Tebow should be the starter. All that stuff. You get the same idea with Shedeur Sanders because you got people who think Shedeur should be playing, and they love Shedeur, and that's great. He's got the great personality, etc. It makes it harder to have a football team, and you outsmart yourself. When you get so caught up in analytics and value and flexibility and roster options, and you make it harder for your football team to be as good as it can be.
Mike, do you believe, like many conspiracy theorists and loyal fans, that Taylor Swift will perform the halftime show at the Super Bowl this February?
Well, look, I'm no Taylor Swift expert, but I have seen the interpretations based upon the nuggets that were sprinkled throughout her appearance on the New Heights podcast with the numbers and the 13 and the 60 and this and that and all those different things that come together. It sure sounds like it. And who else would it be at this point? Doesn't it make all the sense in the
world?
Bob
Seger.
And the NFL has gotten the Super Bowl halftime show to the point where they say to the performer, we don't pay you. And at one point there was a report that they actually get a piece of the album sales, the record sales, whatever, the streams, the tour sales afterward. She's the one that's in the position of strength. And if the NFL is willing to cut her a check, if the NFL is willing to do for her what they don't do for the others, I think they can get her. And they should give her whatever she wants, because what she's already done gratuitously for the NFL is worth anything and everything that they could pay her to be.
Mike, I think it'll be the highest rated Super Bowl regardless of who's in it if she performs.
Good. Good. It's on NBC. Good.
And NBC will have the Eagles and Cowboys next week to kick off the football season.
And you know what? I made a bet. I was on Pardon My Take the other night. And I don't know if it's really a bet, because I don't get anything if I'm right. But if the Saints make the playoffs, I have to grow a beard. And I'm telling you, my facial hair is all white. Pre-game show, Super Bowl, all white.
Be like beard. Harrison Ford in The Fugitive.
I don't know. I don't know about that one. I try not to be partisan, but I hope the Saints don't make the playoffs. Well,
lucky for you, Desmond Ritter will start the season as their quarterback. So hey,
now.
In good shape.
Hey, now.
All right, Mike, thank you so much. We'll talk again soon.
See you guys.
There you go, no, Mike Florio.
Spencer Rattler, what are you talking about? Not Desmond Ritter.
Oh, did I say Desmond Ritter?
You did. Yeah.
Spencer Rattler.
Well, put some respect on Rattler's name. Not that much, though. He hasn't really earned it.